The Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of the Katra AI. Welcome back, everyone. Today we're diving deep into something truly fascinating, a concept that really shifts how we view the world, chaos theory. We're using Leonard Smith's fantastic book, Chaos. A very short introduction as our guide.
It's a great starting point. And honestly, it's a topic that makes you rethink some fundamental assumptions. Smith really zeroes in on this core problem.
Yeah.
How do we deal with a world where tiny, almost invisible differences now can lead to completely different futures down the line? It challenges our whole idea of prediction.
Yeah, exactly. Because we usually think chaos means, you know, total mess, just randomness. But the real insight here, the aha moment Smith gives us, is that chaos isn't just noise. It's actually a very specific, structured kind of unpredictability.
Right. It follows strict mathematical rules. It's deterministic. But the way those rules play out makes long-term forecasting impossible. And as Smith shows, it's not some weird edge case. It's everywhere. Weather, heart rhythms, ecosystems.
Okay, before we get lost in the beautiful math of it all, let's talk about our guide, Leonard Smith. Who is he?
Well, he's quite distinguished. A mathematician and a climate scientist with roles at top institutions like the London School of Economics and Oxford. So he's got the deep theoretical chops.
But it's more than just theory with him, isn't it?
That's the crucial part. His perspective is shaped by decades of practical work, especially trying to forecast real-world weather and climate. He's wrestled with these chaotic systems hands-on.
Ah, so he's lived the frustration.
Exactly. So he's not just explaining the equations. He's using chaos theory to argue for a different mindset, really. A framework for acknowledging uncertainty, not as some temporary problem we'll fix with better computers, but as a fundamental aspect of reality we need to manage.
Okay, so let's get into the book's core idea.
The main thesis is this paradox. You can have systems governed by simple, exact, deterministic laws, rules we know perfectly, yet their behavior becomes completely unpredictable over time.
Deterministic but unpredictable. That sounds contradictory.
It does, but that's the heart of chaos. Simple rules, iterated over and over, can lead to incredibly complex, seemingly random outcomes. That's the emergent behavior.
And Smith makes this accessible, right? You don't need a PhD in physics.
Not at all.
Yeah.
That's the strength of the very short introduction series. And Smith does it brilliantly. He uses really clear analogies, everyday examples, visual ideas. It's aimed right at, you know, anyone curious about how the world works.
Okay, and the bigger picture implication?
It's a fundamental challenge to that old Newtonian idea of the clockwork universe. The belief that if we just knew everything precisely, we could predict everything forever. Smith argues, no, chaos is baked in. And accepting that is vital for making smarter decisions, whether it's in economics, ecology, or even just our own lives. It's about embracing uncertainty.
Right. Let's dig into some of those examples Smith uses. Chapter 1 starts with how simple rules can explode into complexity, using something called the logistic map.
Yes, the logistic map. It's a classic example. Imagine a really basic equation trying to model how a population might grow or shrink based on one single factor, like a resource limit or growth rate.
Okay, simple enough.
So if that growth parameter is low, the population just settles down to one steady number. Predictable. But then you start tweaking that parameter, just nudging it up slightly.
And what happens?
Things get interesting. Suddenly the population doesn't settle, it starts bouncing between two values. Increase the parameter a bit more, it bounces between four values, then eight. 16.
That's the period doubling he talks about.
Exactly. It's this cascade. And then past a certain point, boom, it goes fully chaotic. The population value jumps around erratically, never repeating the same sequence. It looks completely random.
But it's not random. It's still coming from that one simple rule.
Precisely. Every single number is perfectly calculated from the one before it using that same simple equation. It just looks like noise. The huge takeaway is that you don't need complex causes to get complex effects. Simple systems can generate wild behavior.
Wow. Okay, that messes with your intuition right away. And that leads us to maybe the most famous idea from chaos theory, which Smith covers next. Sensitive dependence on initial conditions.
Ah, yes, the butterfly effect. Though Smith is careful about the literal butterfly idea.
Right, it's more of a metaphor.
It is. The real story comes from Edward Lorenz, a meteorologist back in the 1960s. He was running these early computer weather models. One day, to save time, he wanted to rerun a simulation from the middle.
Okay.
So he typed in the numbers representing the current weather state from his printout, But instead of typing the full 6 decimal places that the computer was using internally, he rounded it off to just 3 decimal places. A tiny, tiny difference.
Like less than 1/1000 of a percent difference.
Yeah.
Seems negligible.
You'd think so. But that minuscule difference in the starting point didn't just cause a tiny difference in the forecast. Because of the nature of the weather equations, that small initial error got amplified exponentially over time in the simulation.
So the new forecast quickly became completely different from the original one.
Totally different. After just a simulated month or two, the weather patterns bore no resemblance to the original run, all because of rounding off those last few decimal places.
So this isn't just about needing better measuring tools, is it? It's more fundamental.
It's absolutely fundamental, because we can never measure the initial state of a complex system, the atmosphere, the economy, whatever, with infinite precision. There will always be some tiny uncertainty, some rounding off.
And chaos theory says that tiny uncertainty inevitably blows up.
Yes. It means there's a hard limit, a prediction horizon, beyond which any forecast becomes meaningless. For detailed weather, it's maybe about 2 weeks out. Past that, even the best possible model running on the biggest imaginable computer can't give you a reliable specific forecast.
Because the initial fuzziness just takes over completely.
Exactly. It's a limit imposed by the physics of the system itself, not just our technology. Quite humbling, really.
Definitely. So how do these chaotic systems maintain some kind of structure if they're so unpredictable? Smith talks about visualizing them using something called phase space.
Right. Phase space is a bit abstract, but it's a powerful idea. Think of it like a map. But instead of just showing location, each single point on this map represents the entire state of the system at one instant, all its variables.
Okay, like temperature, pressure, wind speed, all bundled into one point.
Exactly. And as the system changes over time, that point moves, tracing out a path or trajectory on this map. Now, for simple, predictable systems, that path gets drawn towards what's called an attractor.
An attractor, like a destination.
Sort of. It's the state the system settles into. It could be a single fixed point, the system just stops.
Yeah.
Or it could be a simple loop, a limit cycle, like a frictionless pendulum swinging back and forth forever in the same pattern. Very predictable.
So what does the path look like for a chaotic system, like Lorenz's weather model?
Ah, that's where it gets beautiful and weird. Chaotic systems are also drawn to an attractor, but it's a strange attractor. The path stays within a confined region of the phase space it's bounded.
So it doesn't just fly off to infinity.
No, it's contained. But here's the strange part. The path never closes back on itself. It never repeats the exact same trajectory. It wanders endlessly within those boundaries, weaving an incredibly intricate, infinitely detailed pattern.
Like it's always exploring new territory within its limits.
Precisely. That geometric shape it traces out, like the famous Lorenz attractor that looks a bit like a butterfly's wings, is the visual signature of chaos. Order and disorder tangled together.
And that intricate geometry itself has a special name, right? That brings us to fractals.
You got it. These strange attractors are fractals. The key idea with fractals is self-similarity.
Meaning
if you zoom in on any tiny part of the attractor, the structure you see looks similar to the whole thing. It has intricate detail at every possible scale, infinitely deep.
So it's like looking at a coastline on a map. Zoom in and you see more bays and inlets. Zoom in again on a tiny bay and you see smaller ripples and rocks. The complexity is sort of the same at every level.
That's a great analogy. That fractal structure, often having a dimension that isn't a whole number, is what allows the system's path to keep moving and folding within that bounded space forever without ever intersecting itself or repeating. It provides infinite room to wander.
Amazing. And Smith emphasizes this isn't just some mathematical curiosity. He points to real-world chaos everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. It goes way back, even before the term chaos theory existed. He mentions Henri Poincaré's work in the late 19th century on the three-body problem in astronomy, just trying to predict the paths of three celestial bodies under gravity.
Yeah.
Poincaré found it could be inherently unpredictable, chaotic.
So even the heavens aren't perfectly clockwork.
Not always. And then you see it all over biology and physiology. Predator-prey population cycles can exhibit chaotic dynamics. The natural variability in a healthy human heartbeat has fractal chaotic characteristics, even patterns in brain activity. It seems fundamental to how complex living systems operate and adapt.
Okay, so stepping back from the details, what are the big messages, the key themes that Smith wants us to take away from all this?
I think there are three really powerful ones. The first is that core paradox: determinism without predictability.
We know the rules, but we still can't predict the outcome long term.
Exactly. And that fundamentally challenges how we often think, especially in areas like business or policy. We assume if we just understand the mechanisms, we can forecast and control.
Mm-hmm.
Chaos says, well, not necessarily. It's not beyond a certain point. It forces a kind of humility about our predictive powers.
Right. The second theme seems to come straight from that logistic map example. Complexity from simplicity.
Yes. This is just mind-boggling when you first grasp it. Immense, unpredictable complexity doesn't need equally complex causes. Tiny changes in simple rules or small nudges to a system can have massive unforeseen consequences down the line.
Which means we should probably pay more attention to those seemingly small details or assumptions in our models and plans, yeah?
Definitely. It suggests interventions can have disproportionate effects, for good or ill. It's a key insight for anyone designing or managing complex systems.
And the third big theme?
It's really the overarching philosophical conclusion. Scientific humility and the nature of wisdom. Chaos theory pushes science away from the dream of absolute certainty and perfect control.
Towards accepting uncertainty.
Towards accepting it as inherent, as a permanent feature of many systems we care about. Smith argues that real wisdom in dealing with complexity isn't about finding the one right prediction, but about understanding the range of possibilities, their likelihoods, and building strategies that are robust and adaptable in the face of that unavoidable uncertainty.
That makes sense. Smith also has a way with words. The book seems full of quotable ideas.
He really does crystallize these concepts well. One that sticks with me is, chaos is not simply disorder. Chaos is disorder within order. It is order within disorder. That just perfectly captures the essence. It's not random mess. It's structured unpredictability.
It reframes the whole concept. And what about the practical limits?
There's that stark reminder about prediction. Perfect prediction requires perfect knowledge of initial conditions. But perfect knowledge is impossible in practice. That nails the fundamental barrier, the reason the prediction horizon exists. It's not just about better data. It's about the nature of measurement itself.
And that leads to his point about what models should actually aim for.
Yes. In the face of chaos, the goal of a good model is not to produce a single perfect forecast, but to realistically portray the range of possible futures and their likelihoods. This is why modern weather forecasting uses ensemble methods running the model many times with slightly varied starting points to map out the probability space. It's about characterizing the uncertainty, not eliminating it.
Okay, so how does this translate into practical advice, like for our everyday lives?
Well, think about personal planning. If small choices can amplify unpredictably over time, maybe those rigid, super detailed 5-year plans aren't the best approach.
Because life is likely to throw chaotic curveballs anyway.
Pretty much. The chaos perspective suggests focusing more on building resilience, adaptability, developing diverse skills, having fallback options, being ready to adjust course that might be smarter than betting everything on one specific predicted future panning out perfectly, accepting that unexpected turns are normal, not failures of planning.
That resonates. What about something like financial planning?
Oh, chaos theory practically screams caution there. Be deeply skeptical of anyone claiming a foolproof system to predict market movements precisely. Markets are classic, complex, sensitive systems.
Too many butterflies flapping their wings.
You could say that. Strategy-wise, it reinforces the wisdom of diversification, focusing on long-term goals and risk management, and understanding that volatility isn't something to be eliminated, but rather navigated. It's part of the system's nature.
And you mentioned weather earlier. How does chaos theory help with the climate discussion? Because that can be confusing. If we can't predict weather 2 weeks out, how can we predict climate decades ahead?
That's a crucial distinction, Smith clarifies. Weather is the specific state of the atmosphere right now or next Tuesday. It's a single point moving along that chaotic trajectory on the strange attractor. Highly sensitive, unpredictable, past that horizon. But climate is the long-term average behavior of the system. The overall statistics, the shape and boundaries of the attractor itself. While the day-to-day path is chaotic, the attractor's overall properties, like the average temperature, the typical range of variability, are robust and can be understood and predicted, especially how they respond to major forcing like increased greenhouse gases.
So we can predict the climate, the shape of the attractor, even if we can't predict the weather, the exact path on it.
Exactly. There's a vital difference. Chaos theory actually strengthens our confidence in climate projections while explaining the limits of weather forecasts.
That's really clear. Looking back on the book, what was the most surprising thing you took away?
For me, it was probably the insight about biological systems. the idea that a perfectly regular clockwork heartbeat might actually be a sign of pathology, whereas a healthy heart exhibits a certain chaotic variability.
Meaning that variability gives it flexibility.
Yes, adaptability. It suggests that in some contexts, chaos isn't just something to be managed, but a sign of health and resilience. That was quite counterintuitive, but fascinating.
Yeah, that is interesting. My final takeaway, I think, is just how powerful this framework is for dealing with complexity in general. The biggest insight isn't necessarily the math itself, but the shift in perspective it forces.
From seeking certainty to embracing uncertainty.
Exactly. Accepting the limits of our knowledge, the inherent unpredictability in so many systems, doesn't leave us helpless. Instead, as Smith shows, it leads to a more mature, realistic, and ultimately more effective way of thinking, focusing on robustness, adaptation, and understanding possibilities rather than chasing impossible predictions. It feels like a wiser approach, honestly.
Well said. It's about working with the nature of these systems rather than fighting against it.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.